but some of the villages have been more affected by COVID-19, and they told us that we can no longer have the Bible club on there. So we told them, what if we go by their houses and share with the little kids the baggie with the lesson on it? And they told us that that would be a great idea. So we started doing that, and we had an amazing response, because in some of the communities we have up to 80 kids waiting for us by the side of the road. And a lot of them keep memorizing the scriptures.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you so much, church. And it's so great to see some really dear friends of ours, Tim and Beth Russell, Chris, and Hugh Dampier and his wife, Shirley. So thank you so much. But thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be here. My wife, Dina, is in the back with the children. Anyways, again, we're so honored. Well, this morning, just to tell you a little bit about my wife and I, we are simple country folk from a little two red light town called Callahan, north of Jacksonville, where we lived all of our married life. And so we're just simple country folk. And I have to warn you up front, I'm not a pastor and I'm not a preacher. I'm a missionary. I'm a country boy. And so I'm probably not nearly as polished as your pastor is. And so this morning, if I stumble or stutter or forget what I want to say, I ask you just to forgive me and overlook me. But we're so grateful this morning to be here. I'm so thankful that Jesus is alive and well. I'm so thankful that he died on the cross. I'm so thankful this morning he's at the right hand of the Father. He's ever interceding on our behalf. And no matter what kind of a burden or a need we have, Jesus is in control. And I'm so grateful that I serve a God that knew about a pandemic before a pandemic ever became a pandemic. And so this morning, God knows what's going to happen this afternoon, next week, and next month. And so I think part of my responsibility, or our responsibility as Christians, is to trust him, that he's in control and in charge. But 30 years ago, I took my first short-term mission trip. And on the way back, the Lord just began to deal with my heart about people that were less fortunate. And sometimes when we think of less fortunate, we think of monetary purposes. But I want to explain to you a little bit more this morning about people who are really poor spiritually. And I came home so excited. I told my wife about the experience that I had. And a short-term mission trip is something that we can do internationally or domestically. And it's basically where we just go and share about what Jesus has done in our life and just love on people. And the next year, my wife, she went on her first short-term mission trip. At the time, I was in the business world in Jacksonville. My wife was a nurse at Baptist Hospital, and we got 2 weeks of vacation a year, and we decided that we were going to give a week of our vacation every year to go on a missions trip, and so that was our plan. We had two small children at the time, and in those early years, she would go 1 year, and I would stay home, and the next year, we would reverse those roles. When our children got to be about 11 or 12, we started taking them with us because we wanted them to understand the passion that God had put in our heart for people that were less fortunate. And we've been to about 12 countries over the last several years, and we started praying that God would just use us in the capacity of full-time missions. It became a real burden on our heart. And many of you sitting here this morning, you've prayed about something for many years, or maybe you're praying about something now, and it just seems like sometimes God doesn't give us the answer, and it doesn't always mean no, it just sometimes means not right now. But we prayed for 21 years. And in 2010, moving fast forward a little bit, we went down to Ecuador. Normally, we would have been leading a team. On this particular trip, we were by ourselves. And it was on that trip that I just felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, now is the time. And many of you have heard that still small voice. I've never seen God in person. I've never heard God speak audibly. But you know when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. And so I told Dina, I said, Dina, I said, I think God is giving us a peace and a release to do missions full time. Again, we had prayed for 21 years. To be honest with you this morning, we thought God didn't want to use us in that capacity. We prayed for missionaries. We went on missions trips. We gave financially to missions. But we thought maybe this isn't what God wants us to do. But on that particular trip, again, the Holy Spirit, I felt like, spoke to my heart. I tell you that this morning to give all glory and honor to the Lord, because at that time in our lives, Dina and I were making more money than we'd ever made. We had no debt except the mortgage on our home. Our kids were out of college. And from the world's viewpoint, we were flying really high. We had made our minds up. We were just going to start traveling and things like that. But instead, we came back to Jacksonville in the spring of 2010, and we began to sell everything we owned over the next year and a half. And we quit our jobs. We raised enough money to go to language school for a year down in Central America. And in 2013, 8 years this year, we moved to Ecuador, where we live full time about 8 or 9 months out of the year. And it's just so interesting. And let me just say this morning that what we do is not about Gary and Dina Pate. We understand and we pray every morning, God, not our will, but your will be done. We understand it's the Lord's work. It's not our work. But what we do is we work in about 9 different villages with 1,000 to 1,200 children a month. We live in the third largest city in Ecuador called Cuenca. But we drive 1.5 to 2 hours up into these mountains where there's no stores. The children and their families, literally, they live off the land up there. Many of them live in little mud huts, if you will. Many of them don't even have a refrigerator or a stove. They grow what they eat. They barter with what they have left over. Many of them may have a cow that they milk in the morning. They milk it in the evening. But there's no stores for them to go shop at. Many of the children that come to our Bible clubs, and what we do is we do like a Bible club discipleship program where we go to these same 9 villages week in and week out, day in and day out, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have about 25 to 30 teams a year that come from different churches to work with us for a week. And if those teams come and they want to teach the Bible lesson, we give them a topic and we allow them to teach the Bible lesson. But we get the children together either in a community center or wherever we can find to meet. And if there's a local church there, we partner with that local churches. But unfortunately, there's not a lot of evangelical churches of like faith. But we go up into these mountains. We get the children together. They know what day. They know what time we're coming. We play games with them. We sing songs with them. We teach them a Bible lesson, like I said. And then what we do is a craft with the children. And that craft goes along with the Bible lesson. And it's a very simple craft. It can include coloring or gluing or pasting or whatever the case may be. And then on that craft, we put a memory verse. And if the children go home that week and they come back the next week and they memorize that verse, we give them a little 25-cent Oriental Trading Post toy, and they're so excited. And what's so interesting, Pastor, is about 66% of the children every week in and week out, are memorizing God's word. You see, what's so interesting in the country that I live in is that 98% of the people are Roman Catholic. And I don't say that in a negative way this morning. What the children are taught, what the people are taught, the day they come out of their mother's womb, they're taught they don't need to read the Bible because the priest will read it to them. They're taught that they don't need to pray to God. They can go to the priest and he will pray for them. They're taught if they want forgiveness of their sins, they go to the priest. And so again, I don't say that in a negative way, but what I want you to understand this morning is they know who Jesus is in their head, but they don't know who Jesus is in their heart. And what we do is we go in there week in and week out and we teach the children that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He has a plan for your life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. And he wants each of the children and he wants each one of you and I to have a personal relationship with him where every day we talk to him through prayer and every day we read his word, which is a map for our lives day in and day out. And that's what we teach the children. We never condemn the priest. We never condemn Mary. And folks, Mary gets so much more respect than Jesus does where we live and work. We never condemn Catholicism. We just share the love of Christ with them. We share with the children they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's so interesting. You know, I showed you that little video a minute ago for a reason, because when this pandemic hit back in March, Dina and I are residents of Ecuador. We are still citizens of the United States, but we are residents of Ecuador. We could have stayed there, but Ecuador went into such a tight lockdown that you could only go out of your house one day a week. And you could only go to the grocery store, to the doctor, and your family could not go with you. Sir, if you went, your wife couldn't go. And ma'am, if you went, your husband couldn't go. One person from a household, one day a week. And if you were caught even out on the street in front of your home, any other day, the first 2 times they fined you, the 3rd time you went to jail. That's how serious the lockdown was. The average salary in Ecuador is about $367 a month. If you round that up, that's $400. That's less than $5,000 a year. But even in spite of that, many people lost their jobs because of the pandemic. But we weren't able to meet together anymore in the Bible clubs like we're meeting this morning. You remember back in March how we kind of got shut down from even having church. And so the same thing happened to us. But man, it's amazing the way God works. And it's so hard, and there's so much to share with you and tell you this morning. There's not enough time. But God opened the door for us in that we found out the governor in our state, he had all these little boxes or bags of food. And we have a YouTube channel. You can go on there and check that out. I don't have time to show you that video this morning. But we found out the governor in our city had all these little boxes or bags of food. And it didn't consist of much, just some rice and some beans and some oil and tuna and things like that. Just very basic essentials. And Andreas, our team leader, we have three Ecuadorians who work with us full time because we've always believed in whatever country that we worked in, the nationals can reach their people better than we can. Listen, they speak the language better. They understand the culture better. I mean, my English is bad, man. My Spanish is worse. But we've raised up and mentored these Ecuadorians to continue the work when we're not there. And like even to this week, while we are here sharing with you and other churches, they're continuing to do the work. The work has not stopped, and it's just such an amazing testimony to the Lord. But we found out the governor had these little bags of food, and so Andreas, our leader, he went to the governor, and he said, listen, he said, we've got a couple of vans. We can help you, because the government had no transportation. It's a third world country. They had no way of delivering all these bags of food that they had, and he said, we'll help you. And the governor agreed to allow us to take some of the food bags and distribute them. And he said, I'm going to send two of my government officials with you. And we said, hey, we have no problem with that. And they allowed us to even go to our villages. Like, they didn't even tell us, you got to go here, you got to go there. They allowed us to go to the villages that we work in and week out, which is just a miracle in itself. But at the end of the week, after we had called the villages, Andreas did and said, hey, we're going to come and bring you some food just to help you out from the government. But you need to kind of be 6 feet apart. And if you have some kind of a mask, wear it. And at the end of the week, man, the government officials were so impressed with just the organization and the structure. They said, this is the most organized thing we've ever been a part of, because they had been part of other distributions that weren't as organized. But that opened the door for us to get a special permit to where we could go out every day. And so what we started doing is we started taking that van that you saw in that video. And Andreas and Linda, they started taking a Bible lesson and a craft and a memory verse and a snack. They put it in a little plastic bag, and they drive up to these villages an hour and a half or 2 hours away. And those kids are standing alongside of the road because they know what day and time we come. Or they meet us in the general area where we would normally meet when we can meet in person. And we give them that little plastic bag. I learned of six little kids, brothers and sisters, because in Ecuador, sometimes it's very common for many individuals of a family to live in the same hut. Matter of fact, it's very common for the ladies there, or even the young men, to live at home until they're 30 years old. I mean, listen, man, my son hit the road at 18. But there, they will stay home because it's just much more economically feasible for them to live at home. But we learned of these six little brothers and sisters, and a lot of times a 10-year-old will bring their little 4-year-old or 3-year-old. The culture is so different there than here. I would never let my kids or my grandkids do what they do there. But they will walk an hour, hour and a half to come to our Bible clubs at 10,000 feet of elevation. Well, the public buses shut down because of the pandemic. The kids that would normally pay a quarter to ride the public bus, 80% of the people in Ecuador ride a public bus for 25 cents, but the public bus is shut down in March. And so the children took their little quarters, and a quarter is so valuable to a child, even to an adult in Ecuador. But they took their quarters, and they came up with $1.50, and they hired a little taxi truck to take them to the place where we were going to be passing out those plastic bags with a Bible lesson, a craft, a snack, and a memory verse. And I was so moved by that, that they would take the little bit they had to go get a plastic bag with a Bible lesson. It's so incredible to see what God's doing. I'm going to show you another video here in just a minute. In this video, you're going to see this gentleman named Gonzalo and his wife, Jenny. They live up in the mountains about 2 hours away. We meet in a public school every Wednesday at 2 o'clock where they live. By the law of the government, we're not supposed to meet in a public school because it's against the law for religious organizations to meet in the school. But God has given us great favor with the principal there. He lets us meet in the school, and we drive up there on Wednesdays. But within 30 minutes, there's 14 villages within each other, and there's no evangelical church. Think about that for a minute. How many churches are there this morning within 30 minutes of us? And then in your mind, picture a village up in the mountains of Ecuador where there are 14 villages within 30 minutes of each other and there's no evangelical presence. The only gospel the children hear is what we bring them every Wednesday at 2 o'clock. But there's a family up there, Gonzalo and Jenny, and their daughter, her name is Jenny. And about a year and a half ago, a church partnered with us, and they allowed us to bring him on full time as part of our work and our ministry, and they kind of are supporting his salary of $450 a month. We pay him a little bit more than the average $367. But they're reaching out into these communities. He was a bivocational guy. He was a welder by trade, and he tried to share the gospel. But folks, I'm going to tell you, I was talking to him not too long ago, and he was explaining to me that, Gary, it's so hard up here. It's so hard up here. The ground is so hard because, again, folks, I want you to understand something this morning. This morning, many of you have probably grown up in church, or you come here every week and you hear the gospel. And we've been taught to believe that Jesus, we can have a personal relationship with him, but the children and people we work with, that's not the way they believe. And if I came in here this morning, and Pastor wouldn't let me anyway, but if I came in here this morning trying to teach you a different way than what you believe by what this book says, you wouldn't probably listen to me right away. And it's the same way in these villages. They've been taught they don't need to read the Bible. They've been taught they don't need to pray to God. They've been taught that they go to a man to get forgiveness of their sins. Some white gringo guy is coming in there now telling them there's a different way. And folks, you don't win them by a one and done. You don't win them by a dog and pony show. I look back on many of the mission trips I did years ago, and we would go to a country, and the missionary or the pastor, he'd get 300 or 400 kids together, and man, us gringos thought, wow. And we were there for a week, and we shared the gospel. But now that I live on the mission field full time, and I work there, and I kind of see what goes on a little bit, I often think back in my mind, what happened to those children that we worked with for that week? Did anybody follow up? Did anybody ever go talk to them after that? Or was it just a dog and pony show because the gringos were there? And that's why we go to the same villages week in and week out, because we understand that it's about discipleship, it's about relationship, it's about sharing the love of Christ with these children and their families. But you'll see in this video I'm going to show you Andreas and Linda and a girl named Leslie who work with us full time. You'll see in there where we started doing this little carnival once a year for the children that come to our Bible clubs. Because listen, the children that you're going to see in the video in the villages, nobody's making them come. They come because they want to a Bible club. And so I thought, let's have a little carnival, like a trunk or treat. And we can have some little games and give them a little prize. And I remember the first time we did this, I told you we live in the third largest city in Ecuador. And so I was able to rent a bounce house. And we took that bounce house up to the mountains. And I had to have somebody transport it. It was kind of big. But when we got up there and we set that thing up and started blowing it up, man, the kids thought it was a UFO coming out of the ground. They'd never seen anything like it. They didn't know what it was. We had a team there that week of young people, and they got in there and started bouncing around. And that was Katie bar the door. The kids figured it out, man. They didn't want to get out. We started celebrating their birthdays once a quarter. Listen, I'm not kidding you this morning when I tell you 10 and 12-year-old kids had never had a birthday cake, never seen a birthday cake. And we started celebrating their birthdays once a quarter, and we give them a little prize. But folks, it's about loving on people and building relationships with people. And it's so amazing. In this video, you're going to see a little girl that comes to our Bible club. She's got a live chicken in her backpack. When they come to our clubs, man, they bring their dogs, their chickens, whatever they want to bring, we let it bring, because we just want to share the gospel with them. Many of the churches or the villages that we work in, I said there's no evangelical church, but if there is an evangelical church there, we try to work with that church. Look, we believe in partnering. We believe in working with the locals. And one of the places that we meet on Tuesdays, we started meeting up there. We meet on a dirt floor in the basement. The first time we started meeting up there, we had about 20 kids. And then it grew and grew and grew to where we had up to about 70. And folks, in this particular little place was the basement of a concrete block house of a little house church. They didn't even have a bathroom. We had to walk down the mountain about 50 to 75 yards just to go to the bathroom. But we were able to buy them a toilet and a sink, and of course they were happy to install it. And God's just allowing us to be a part of sharing his love and his gospel. So I'm going to show you this little video, and then I'm going to come back and just share a little bit more.
Give light darkness, you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praises.
Something went boo-boo. No worries. Oh, good. We get to see it again. We have a lot of llamas and alpacas. We have mudslides because of the mountains. This is the three nationals that work with us. This is the pastor I was telling you about up in the mountains. These are just some of our Bible clubs. We have a youth club and a ladies Bible club that my wife does that was born out of the children's club. This is a little boy saying his memory verse, 4 years old.
Preguntó Jesús, ¿por qué tienen tan poca fe? Entonces se levantó y reprendió al viento y a las olas y de repente hubo una gran calma.
It's your turn. Have a little fishing game, soccer, basketball, ring toss. They have a bounce house.
They said that'll be used as an evangelistic tool for this community.
Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath.
Well, that gives you a little visual of what I'm trying to explain to you. You know, in that video, you saw some kids with hats and gloves and rain boots and things like that. And from time to time, we try to do humanitarian aid from a Christian perspective. We never want the people to become dependent on us because that's the worst thing we can do. And a lot of times in our North American mentality, we think by giving them money or things of that nature really helps them, but the truth is it does more harm at the end of the day. What we try to do is teach them to be reliant on Jesus, just like each one of us are relying on Christ each and every day. But at the same time, we try to bless them. And it's so interesting because, you know, we gave them some rain boots here a couple of years ago. We raised the money to give each kid a pair of little rain boots. I think they were about $8 a piece. And to our ignorance, what we didn't realize is a lot of these children, I'm talking now up in the mountains at 10,000 feet. You know how cold it was here this morning at ground level or sea level. You can imagine at night with the wind blowing and such. But what we realize is that when we gave the children the rain boots, many of them didn't even have socks on with their shoes. And so we were able to this last year go and raise the money to give each kid at Christmas a few pair of socks. And so again, it was just a way that we blessed them. Because folks, this is my opinion. And Pastor, correct me if I'm wrong. But folks, when we give something away, we always share the gospel. Because I believe we can send people to hell on a full stomach. I believe we can send people to hell with clothes on their back. And man, if we don't share with them about what Jesus has done in our lives. And listen, folks, it's not about beating people up with religion because religion is garbage. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ, man. You know, this morning just driving over here, it was just talking to the Lord like I would be talking to you or my wife. And it's just amazing the way the Lord works. In that video you saw where many of the children had a backpack, and my wife came up with this idea a couple of years ago. Why not every year when the kids go back to school to give them a backpack with what they need to go back to school with? Now listen, you got to remember, they live up in the mountains. There's no stores. And if the mother has the economic resources to buy what the child needs for school, she has to take about 4 buses to get to the city. And then she has to take 4 buses back in the evening. The buses don't just run all day. And so my wife said, why not give the children a backpack with what they need to go back to school with? So we checked with the government, and we found out what they really needed. And so what we did, because we are so blessed to have teams that come from churches throughout the year, we said to this church, would you like to buy the erasers? Would you like to buy the glue sticks or the pencils or whatever? And so we accumulate all this stuff, and we put it in this little backpack. And at the end of the day, we've got about $15 in the whole shooting shebang. But we started putting a full Bible in there. And it was a Spanish Bible, of course. And I asked myself a year ago, or maybe it was the Holy Spirit that prompted me, and I began to ask myself, are these children reading that Bible? Can they even understand it? I mean, a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, I can't understand an adult Bible. I have to read like the 6th grade level. And so the Lord just gave me this idea about putting like a children's storybook Bible in the backpack. And in that video, you saw all those children applaud. And I don't know if you remember this, but they were saying, thank you, Jesus. Because when they opened the backpacks and they saw this little Bible, they literally began to clap. They'd never done that before. While they're very grateful for the backpack, and we call each child down one at a time when we give them the backpack after the Bible lesson, because we want it to be a special time for them. And it's like, man, the kids are so excited and the mom's so excited that we gave them the backpack. And so we started putting these little Bibles in there. These Bibles cost $5.60 in Ecuador. We don't even have to get them shipped. But there was a little boy during the pandemic way up in the mountains. He's 12 years old. His name is Miguel. And Miguel was having problems breathing. And so his mother had to take him to the hospital in the city. And when his mother took him to the hospital in the city, he said to his mom, bring my little blue story Bible book. That's what he calls it. And when he got to the hospital, his mom began to say that, I read this to him every morning and every night because he wants me to, not because she wanted to. And the doctor came in and said, do you really believe what you're reading in that little blue book? It's a blue book, not a boo book. And he said, yes, I do. He said, because I learned in the Bible clubs that I'm going to face giants in my life just like David faced Goliath, but I believe God will help me. And I want to show you one more short little video about Miguel in this story. That would be number 3 if it's
this is the story of Miguelito Ramon, one of the almost 600 kids that got a backpack last year. We shared these backpacks with 12 different communities that we work and have a relationship with. Each backpack has school supplies, a towel, toothpaste, soap, and a couple socks. And the more important thing, a kid's Bible. We did the same thing on the coast, but in a smaller scale. Miguelito was having some breathing problems, and because of that, he was needed to be in the hospital during the pandemic. The only thing that he asked was for his Bible, because his mom reads him the Bible every single night. Early in the morning, an atheist doctor came and asked him, "Do you really believe in this?" And he replied, "Yes, I was taught that I will face this problem in the same way that David faced Goliath." Miguelito's mom started crying because she said, "This little boy has more faith than I do." After a couple days, he went back home with his mom and the little blue Bible. And like Gary always says, "Thank you, Jesus, for what are you doing here in the mountains of Ecuador?"
So it's just amazing what God's... Hey, listen, the only thing that we do, folks, is God's word won't return void. Some mornings I wake up and I'm in Ecuador and I'm brushing my teeth and I'm looking in the mirror and I think to myself, honestly, what am I doing here? Because it's not always an easy life. We have no church family. We have no blood relatives. We're kind of there by ourselves. We have our Ecuadorian team, but they're great, but it's not the same. But I'm telling you, man, to see these children memorizing God's word and just watching a video like that about a kid that I know personally that got a Bible and that was able to impact other people unintentionally, a doctor that walked in that he had not planned to speak to. But again, it was just a witness. It's the Lord's work, friend. It's God's work. And Pastor, I've been going 30 minutes, and I'm going to stop in just a minute. But in Ecuador, can I have just a few more minutes, please? In Ecuador, the people we work with are Quechua people for the most part. They learn by storytelling. They're a little people. And they're like, there's many indigenous groups in Ecuador, but they're like some of the most rejected or the lower, if you will, the Quechua people. And they learn by storytelling. And I want to share this little story with you. And you can look it up later to see if I'm telling you the truth or not. And like, I'm hyper as all get out, and I'm going to have this all messed up in a minute. But I need these readers because I'm old. But I was reading in my personal devotion here a while back, and I came across this chapter 4 in John. And let me just go through this really quick. Jesus is leaving Judea. He's going to Galilee. I Googled that. It said it's 93 miles. I don't know if that's right or not. But what I can tell you is based on the Bible, it was a long way. And he had to go through this place called Samaria on the way. And Jesus, he was tired from his walk. He went and he sat by this well at noontime. Soon this lady came up. She was a Samaritan. And she was going to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone because the disciples that were with him, they'd gone over to the other village to get something to eat. That would have been me. "Jesus, you go sit by the well. I'm going to get something to eat. See you in a few minutes." But the woman was surprised because the Bible tells us that Jews usually didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans. And so she says to Jesus, "You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman, and you're asking me for a drink." And Jesus said to her, "If you only knew the gift that God has for you, and who you are speaking to, you would ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water." And the woman said to Jesus, "But sir, you don't have a rope, you don't have a bucket, this well is deep. How are you going to give me a drink?" And Jesus said, "Anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but if they drink the water I give them, they will never thirst." And the woman said to Jesus, "Sir, please give me this water." And Jesus says to her, "Go get your husband." She says, "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. And Jesus said, "You're right, you don't have a husband. You've been married 5 times, and the guy you're living with now, he's not your husband either." And the woman was shocked that Jesus knew everything about her. Think about if you met this guy today, and he tells you everything about yourself, and you never met him before. This woman, the Bible says, in verse 28, she ran back to the village where she was from. My understanding is the women would normally come early in the morning to fill these big water pots with water in the cool of the day. It makes sense. This woman came at noontime because she was embarrassed about her lifestyle. But Jesus knew exactly where she was going to be and what time she was going to be there. Jesus could arrive at 10 or 2, but he arrived at noon. He knew where that lady was going to be. And friends, this morning I want to encourage you, if you're going through something or facing something, I want you to know that hope has a name and his name is Jesus. And I want you to know that love has a name and his name is Jesus. And the Bible says that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and serve the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And I'm going to challenge you, don't give up. Don't get weary. Listen, that lady went back to her village. She told the people in the village, the Bible says she ran. She didn't walk. She didn't skip. She didn't jump. She ran and says, "Come see this guy that told me everything I ever did." And many people believed because she went and told them. And I want to leave you with this. Share your story. Listen, my dad died when I was 10 years old. I lived in a single wide trailer. 10, 11 years old, I remember the limbs of the trees rubbing up against that thing at night, and I thought somebody was trying to break in. I was so insecure. I was so scared. I wouldn't go to sleep at night, 10 and 11 years old, because I was so insecure, afraid of the dark. I'm not that way anymore. I can relate to people that have been in that situation, but you know what? I can't relate to a drunk or an alcoholic. But I say that to say this morning, we all have a story to tell. And no matter what walk of life you come from, you've got a story to tell. And it's just about loving on people. And you know what? God is not looking for your availability. I mean, your ability, your availability. Let me say that again. God is not looking for your ability, but your availability. And maybe the Lord's putting something on your heart to do in this church, or whatever the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart, and you've been saying, well, I don't have that talent. I don't have that ability. God doesn't need it. He only wants your availability. Listen, I never finished high school. I never went to college. I've never pastored a church. I've never been on staff at a church. I sometimes think, God, why in the world would you choose to use me? I'm the least of these. I'm seriously uneducated. I didn't like school. I'm not very book smart. If it weren't for street smarts and common sense, I'd have no sense at all. But folks, I'm telling you that Jesus will use you. The other thing I just want to share with you in closing is this. Missions is not simply crossing the sea, but seeing the cross. Think about that. Missions is not simply crossing the sea, but seeing the cross. And so this morning you have a story to tell. And I want to encourage you to tell that story. Well, as I close, back in the back where our display table is, we have some brochures back there. And if you're interested in getting one of those brochures, it looks like this right here. There's some information in there. And there's a prayer magnet inside, and if you pick that up and not careful, it'll fall out. But if you would take one of these and just pray for us, we would be so obliged. Also back there, there's a card, and if you fill this card out and you're interested in getting our newsletters, we would love to mail you the newsletter. We mail it as well as email it, because sometimes email just don't work or it goes to junk or spam. But we send them out 4 times a year, so you're not going to get something from us every week, but we send them out quarterly. Pastor Dale, are you getting that? I think I added you to the list. You may not have wanted me to, but anyways, if you want to get that newsletter, and folks, here's the thing. Pastor, thank you so much for letting me share this morning. Folks, Dean and I are what you call independent missionaries. We come out of a Southern Baptist church. We come out of North Jacksonville Baptist Church. That's our sending church. Dr. Revis is our pastor. But we raise 100% of the funding we get. We don't get one penny from any mission organization. We raise 100% of our support. So if the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart to help us in some form or fashion, we have a monthly budget like everything else, and all the gifts are tax deductible, but please don't send us your tithe. Your tithe goes here to this church, and so we're not asking for that. We're just saying if the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, please just be obedient to whatever the Lord thinks. I want to leave you with this. I want to ask you one question. Think about this. If you died in your sleep tonight, do you know where you would wake up? It's either heaven or hell. You see, the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't have a choice in that. But it says, while the wages of sin was death, the gift of God is eternal life. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I was guilty of sin and Jesus was innocent, but he gave his life. And this morning, if you don't know without a doubt where you would spend eternity, please get with your pastor after this service is over. Because you see, I'm not promised that when I pull out of this parking lot, I'm going to make it back to Nassau County. But I know for a fact, Pastor, where I would spend eternity if that in fact didn't happen. And so I ask you the same. Thank you for putting up with me being so kind. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you for this pastor. Thank you for this church. We understand the church is a people. It's not a building. And God, I pray your blessings on these people. Thank you for the opportunity to share about your love, Lord, and your work. I'm sorry for where I let you down and fail you, God. But I'm so thankful you allow me to be a small part of it. God, I understand we are a team. And one day we're going to see people in heaven because there are people that give and people that pray and people that go. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well,